as much as we was on this run and doing well, the results humbled us, and it just shows how far we've got to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think maybe we're getting in a sort of false position. Maybe some of us were getting a bit too carried away. But even with the run we'd been on before Derby, we're still very much in that relegation battle. We couldn't get carried away thinking mid-table, top half, things like that. We needed to keep our feet on the ground. Now, I'd much rather we'd have just kept our feet on the ground rather than have this wake-up call of a 4-0 defeat to Derby. But yeah, he is right, Michael O'Neill. And the biggest thing now for me is just the reaction to it, because if we let that defeat fester, as we have done previously under previous managers, then things can start to spiral out of control. The biggest testament to his management will be when this kind of result comes, how do we bounce back from it?
Yeah, well, this is it. How do Stoke bounce back from it? We'll talk about their games in a minute. But what I'm worried about as well, David, we spoke about a fantastic momentum for Stoke, a brilliant bit of confidence they had going into these games now on the back of that run. And we're worried that, you know, results can come in solitary. You know, they can be one-offs, and, you know, it doesn't worry the players too much. But you can worry that this can damage them and, you know, heavily lose all the momentum, and that, and then now this sets them on a bad course for the next two or three games also.
Yeah. Momentum is important, but I think it's just the nature of the Championship as well. It's very, very hard to be good for a sustained period of time. Like, even look at the top two in the division right now, West Brom and Leeds. Their form recently has been really poor by their standards. And so they'll be thinking, right, we've been on a bad run, we need to bounce back. And same with us at the bottom of the table. Just don't let one result be that momentum changer. I think we'll be fine. I know teams can sort of go on bad runs and stuff, but I mean, we've surely had our bad run for the season already with not winning the first 10 games. I don't think we could take anything like that again. But yeah, I think we just need to maybe put it in perspective. It's a new manager. He's still getting to know this team. We've only made a couple of signings, so it's still very, very much early days, and you've just got to, you know, 4-0's gutting, but, you know, it's not like it's four games we've lost in a row.
Yeah, and obviously we're hoping that, like you said, we see that bounce back ability, a reaction from the players and obviously the coaching staff. I'm sure with Michael O'Neill at the helm, we will see that. But it's interesting, David. We spoke last week on the back of that four-game run, and, you know, we're looking up and we're starting to get away. Then all of a sudden, results around you, you look at it again, and you can't look at the league table like that. But I suppose the position you're in, you do. And then you see it again and you go, oh, now it's only a two-point cushion. And that little bit of nerves maybe starts to creep in once more.
Yeah, of course. And again, this league is just utterly bonkers at times. Like Wigan winning away at Leeds and things like that. It's just, you're never going to make money betting on the Championship, because it's just going to throw up a result or two every week. And we think, how on earth has that happened? So, like, we'll be checking the league tables at the end of each week from now until the end of the season. But I think there are definitely three teams worse than us. It's just making sure we just do enough to get those points on the board, however we do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the games come thick and fast. Obviously, Cholton and Preston next. Cholton in and around you as well. Huge game on the weekend. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But we thought it was going to be a quiet end to the transfer window. Obviously, there was a bit of deadline day action. Stoke actually making two deadline day signings. One being Wales defender James Chester on loan, and as well as Tottenham Hotspur teenager Tashan Oakley-Booth for an undisclosed fee. What did you make of the two additions, and how pleased are you with them?
I'm very pleased. The only kind of question mark I have with James Chester is, did we need another centre-back? Well, on the basis of Derby, we probably do, to be honest. It looked like Barton and Lindsay were just having a bit of putting a bit of form together between them and starting to kind of work each other out. and they're not even kind of our first choice centre backs. I think Chalkhouse and Martins India are probably better than both of them. It's left back where we probably needed the most upgrading but didn't. But that said, James Chester, I think, is a quality defender. I think when we first came down, he was linked with us, and I really wanted him then. And Aston Villa fans absolutely rave about him as well. So I'm really pleased with that. The Spurs youngster, obviously, don't know much about him other than won the Under-17 World Cup with England. And it sounds like he might be not just a academy player. He sounds like he wants 13 minutes, so he'll be in amongst that group of young players we have, like Velinden and Nkoy and Campbell, who maybe will get some pitch time. So I'm excited to see what he can do, because he could have perhaps been very comfortable at Tottenham and just kind of waited a few years for his chance, but he was willing to come on a permanent. So that's kind of a testament to his ambition, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Stoke and Spurs have a little bit of history with all their signings and dealings. But the one, the signing that obviously sticks out, just because we know more, David, the Chester signing, and I've got to admit, even Aston Villa fans now on social media, and this is rare, this wishing the player well, saying Stoke have got a real talent on their hands, a player that shouldn't be sitting on the bench, and this is a player that, you know, reached the European semi-finals with Wales, so he's got some pedigree, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, it looks like we're slowly putting together that Wales side from the Euros with Joe Allen and Sam Vokes inside as well. So maybe Gareth Bale will come to us in the summer. That'd be a nice little addition to round off that, you know, that Wales 2016 vibe. But yeah, you can't doubt his experience. And with Ryan Shawcross's injury situation, maybe he can be that just experienced head. Just to guide us, I think. That's what we need. We need just someone to kind of steady our nerves a bit, and hopefully he can be that kind of player. Reminds me a bit of when, going back a few years now, when we're in a similar situation, looking like we could be relegation candidates in the Championship. Tony Pulis brought in Jerry Taggart from Leicester, and now they're perhaps a different kind of defender, more violent, I'd say, than James Chester. But, yeah, just someone who can just breathe an air of confidence into the back line. And if that back line's confident, then Jack Butland's going to be more confident, and midfield's going to be more confident. And we can just put together these clean sheets that we need and stop conceding for places like Derby.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's Charlton and Preston next. Massive, massive, monumental games. Obviously, every game is when you're down there and in the division like the Championship anyway. But Charlton up first as well. What are you making of that one?
Now, one of my mates went to see Charlton play, I think it was Brentford in the league. I'm not sure on that. But he came back from the game saying Charlton are absolutely terrible. So that's given me, you know, a pretty decent cause for optimism. Not that Stoke have been particularly great this season, but if a neutral's going to watch Charlton and say how terrible they are, then, you know, I can feel a bit more optimistic. And it's at home as well. These are the kinds of games you need to win. Preston will be more difficult because we saw earlier this season how good Preston can be, and they've got designs on the top six. So that will be a different game entirely, but we really should be looking to beat Charlton. If we got 4 points from these next two games, I'd be very, very pleased.
Yeah, 4 points from the next two games, but Preston as well. It doesn't get any easier. Preston, we know what they're like, especially a little bit like Derby in a sense. Brilliant home form. Haven't matched it on the road. You know, what are you getting out of the Preston game?
Yeah, well, like you say, on the road, hopefully they won't be as dangerous as they are at Deepdale. They have got some very, very good players. Paul Gallagher, who seems to be around for years, always seems to score against us as well. So they're a very, very dangerous team. Neil's doing a very, very good job there. I would take a point, I probably. But yeah, it's just about how we respond. And this is why the Charlton game is so crucial, because if we don't respond against Charlton, then the Preston game could be a write-off as well. And then you're looking at three defeats on the bounce, and all of a sudden you're kind of packing your bags for Fleetwood, aren't you?
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. How, just quickly, David, how are the fans sensing it now? Because, you know, we said we're not going to get too high, we're not going to get too low, and then we know it's the Championship. You rightly said it is a roller coaster. We're going to have ups and downs, but where are the fans seeing it now? We've seen marked improvement from the side under O'Neill, but there is still work to be done. Are the fans just sort of not wanting this season over, but still in a mindset of taking it game by game?
Yeah, I think so. I know all football fans are fickle, and they will kind of, you know, overreact to defeats and overreact to wins, and that's just kind of the nature of it. But I think a lot of people have accepted the Derby game for what it was, and not tried to completely lose their mind over it. I think we do want the season to be over in the sense of just get us out of this kind of worry of relegation. But I think O'Neill has put up a lot of goodwill so far. There's been enough in the performances so far, particularly those, you know, those big away wins at Huddersfield and Barnsley, and the way we've responded as well, like winning games in the last minute, and just performances that we never really got under Rowett and Jones, and that's given us a lot of cause for optimism, just to see where we can take this group of players, seeing how he can progress the squad he's already got, and then looking at the summer, where do we need to improve, and how far can he take that team?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, trying to put plans in place for next year, but that needs to sort out survival this year first. David, really appreciate you coming on. Please check out Wizards of Drivel podcast, doing some really special podcasts of late as well. So make sure you check them out for all your extra Stoke City content. There is still 15 minutes more to come of the Stoke City Fan Show, so which that means still time for you to have your say tonight. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. The Stoke City Fan Show on Love Sport with ImpactSports.uk, the latest power brand for CBD. This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Stoke City Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, we just heard from the brilliant David there from Wizards of Drivel podcast everything that he learned and we learned as Stoke fans on Friday night. Derby thrashing Stoke after that 4-game unbeaten run. Where did it go wrong? Well, it's not a blip. It was just one game. The boys will be back to do it, and it's two big games, Charlton and Preston. But before that, quickly, just to keep you updated, in the FA Cup tonight, fourth round replay, Spurs have beat Southampton 3-2 in a 5-goal thriller at Tottenham. Saints were 2-1 up. Tottenham levelled it with 10 minutes to go. Moore are getting them back into it 2-2. Son has scored a penalty in the 88th minute. Spurs are through to the fifth round. Unbelievable scenes. We're going to cover that game in tonight's reaction show from 10 on Love Sport Radio, where you can have your say. Just like you can have your say on the Stoke City Fan Show that is currently going on. And something a little bit special now, because we do a number of fan shows on Love Sport Radio, one being the brilliant Stoke City Fan Show and another being Charlton Athletic. Those two teams play each other this weekend, so I secretly just heard what they were saying, and they spoke to our very own Martin Spinks from the Stoke Sentinel all about the game and what the Charlton perspective was on that game. And the Charlton boys started asking Martin what he thought on the game on the weekend and how big the game was.
Well, you said it's a big game, and the big advantage for Stoke, or us as I should say, I suppose, in this show, is that we've been used to big games all season, because Stoke have been down there, and obviously you've been dropping, haven't you, after a great start. So I'm hoping we're more battle-hardened, and certainly it's a better Stoke team than you would have seen a few weeks ago. That's the bad news for Charlton.
Yeah, kind of on that point, I think we all expected Stoke to do really well this season, made a few big signings, some familiar signings as well in the summer. But when we did play you at the beginning of the season, you know, it wasn't really much of a contest. Charlton were a better team, and you had a real struggle at the start of the season. What's that down to? Like, obviously it's getting a bit better now, but why did it start so poorly?
It was a poor start. 1 point from the first six games, I think it was. And that was the second game of the season, wasn't it, down at the Valley? obviously, Nathan Jones was the manager then, and it just didn't click under him. He came in January last year, had time to look at things pre-season, brought 10 players in, which proved far too many in the end, and he fell into the trap of chopping and changing the team too much when they couldn't get results. And it just spiralled out of control in the end, I'm afraid. And he would have gone sooner, but for the loyalty of the owners, who aren't, they're not a second club, and they pledged a lot of faith in him, and he got one or two results just when he needed them. But in the end, they just couldn't go on, and in fact, his very last game was at Millwall, just down the road from you, at the end of October. Michael O'Neill's come in and made a few changes. He's tinkered. He's not ripped it up. He's tinkered, but tinkered very sensibly, and I think you can see the outcome in the results.
Yeah, and I think, personally, just looking at it from a kind of, you know, just observing as a Charlton fan, I just think there's too much quality in that team for them to be down there where they are, some of the players you got there. So, like you say, it was probably a bit of tinkering on O'Neill's part to turn it round. I mean, I guess you had that heavy defeat against Derby the other week, didn't you? What do you think? I guess you must see this as a game you've got to win, really, from a Stokes point of view.
Yeah, they've had a good January, and in fact, he's been nominated for Manager of the Month, which is just, you know, unheard of in these parts in recent times. They've taken 10 points out of 12, and then 10 out of 15 in the end because of that defeat at Derby on the last day of the month. We're hoping that's an aberration, and it's the sort of result you can get when a team has been so poor, they've turned it around, but they're not going to turn it around 100%. They're going to have blips, and that's what we're hoping that was at Pride Park. It's a big week. They've got Charlton at home Saturday and then Preston at home next Wednesday before going to QPR. So they've really got to pick up some serious points from these two home games and pull away again. They were 7 points clear of the bottom three. We all drew a sigh of relief, not thinking they were out of it, but thinking, yeah, they really have turned the corner now. Suddenly they lose at Derby and Wigan, win a couple of games, and that gaps down to 2 points. And obviously you're in the mix as well, which is good news for us. We've got to try and drag you in there along with the likes of Huddersfield.
A couple of new boys through the door at the end of the transfer window, a mixture of youth and experience. James Chester on loan from Aston Villa will bring experience at centre-half of both the Premier League and, of course, the Championship. And youngster from Tottenham, Tashaun Oakley-Booth, sort of unknown, but he was highly regarded within the Spurs academy. Are you excited about these players coming in?
Yeah, the Oakley-Booth one is obviously more long-term. He's still a teenager, isn't he, with very little experience. And if we get anything out of him this season, I think that has to be seen as a bonus. Chester's come in because the manager's worried about the centre of his defence. Before the Derby game, there were no worries about the two players out there, Liam Lindsay and Danny Barth, but very little cover. He doesn't fancy Bruno Martins Indy there, who's been playing left-back. And skipper Ryan Shawcross has made two comebacks from his broken leg and broken down on each occasion. And he's still out at the moment. So he's brought James Chester in until the end of the season as cover, essentially, but also a chance to look at him because he's out of contract and that may well become a permanent deal if he does well. But I have to say, defensively until Pride Park, and even then, if you're being really kind, you can say it's one of those nights where everything Derby hit went into the top corner. Jack Butland was helpless on all four occasions, and he's one of many experienced players, along with the likes of Joe Allen in midfield, who've come back to something like their best form. They're not quite there yet, but they're certainly getting there. And there's no doubt that the man management of Michael O'Neill and his tactics on the pitch have contributed enormously to that.
Yeah, Martin, just a quick glance at your lineup against Derby. I noticed there was no Jordan Cousins. I don't know if he's injured or dropped. And I mean, what sort of impact has he made? Because obviously we like to keep a check on ex-Charlton players.
Yeah, he was one that Nathan Jones really pinned his colours to because he knew him from his Charlton days. He was a youth team player, though, wasn't he, under Nathan? Mm. And he brought him in on a free from QPR. And I felt sorry for him because he made his debut in the first game at home to QPR, as it happened, and then he dropped him for the game at Charlton. Now, you know, that, I'm afraid, was a symptom of the selection policy under Nathan Jones this season, the chopping and changing. What that did for Cousins' confidence at that time, I really don't know. Surely you've got to back him at Charlton, going back to his old club, to put in a performance. But he dropped him, and he's been in and out of the team really all season. He was playing as a holding midfielder, but then Michael O'Neill changed things on New Year's Day at Huddersfield. They had been playing 4-3-3, which is his favourite system. He then changed it to, if you like, a 4-2-3-1. That's to accommodate Nick Powell in the sort of number 10 position. And I'm afraid Jordan Cousins was booted out. He didn't want that holding, essentially holding midfielder, and Cousins has been on the bench ever since. Come on a few times, but I'm afraid at the moment he's just a stopgap.
Martin, before we let you go, can you give us a score prediction for the weekend?
I've got to be bold. I've got to assume there's going to be a good reaction from Pride Park on Friday night. So I've got to go home and have my chaps. Sorry, I'm going to duck. Thank God you're a long way away. I'll give you a goal, though. I'll say 2-1.
2-1 from our very own Martin Spinks there from the Stoke Sentinel. Can you believe it? Just after that, the Cholton boys said that Cholton would go on and win 3-0 beating Stoke. It's going to be a good one. Both sets of fans thinking their team will win. But as you heard from Martin, he also spoke of a reaction, a bounce back that he wants to see and he thinks he will see from Stoke side, Michael O'Neill's side, just as David said from the Wizards of Drivel podcast. And just a reminder quickly tonight, there is no Stoke City fan show next week. You know why? You're playing. You're at the game. You're not listening to us. You're playing. So we will be back in 2 weeks' time and there will be so much more for us to digest, so much more for us to dissect, because could they bounce back or could it be 2 games, 3 games, and then that relegation race, just like the home race, the business end of the Championship season, gets tougher and tougher. Well, this has been the Stoke City Fan Show. We will see you in 2 weeks' time, and I'll be back with David, and I'll be back with Anthony, and who knows, maybe even Martin will join. We will see you then. But Tom Jones, you're up.
Slave that no man could free. At break of day, when that man drove away, I was waiting. I crossed the street to her. This is Love Sport.